Chapter 5. The Hand of the Lord. Ezekiel 1, verse 3. The hand of the Lord was there upon me. 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 15. And Elisha said, Now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. In other words, the Lord had taken Ezekiel in hand. God himself takes into his mighty hands the task of preparing and developing Ezekiel's life and ministry. The capricious hands of chance, or the hurtful hands of devils, or the evil will of his enemies, would not be allowed to work out the development of this prophet that God determined to use. Chance or happiness will not rule in anyone who has truly surrendered his life into the hands of God. Such a life is taken into the hands of infinite love and absolute wisdom that in turn are governed by the eternal will of God. As a master potter, he takes the clay and forms it into the acceptable vessel of his choice. For such ones who are surrendered in love, every part and parcel of their lives is under total control. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The potter's house. God sent Jeremiah the prophet to the potter's house that he might watch the potter work on the clay. God wanted to show Jeremiah how he would work with his own people. Regardless of the circumstances, procedures, or process that the clay was put through, it all was ordered and completely controlled by the potter. The mind of the clay was never consulted. The clay remained totally subject to the will of the potter. Sometimes there were caressing hands that gently pressed upon the clay as it was being molded upon the wheel. At other times, strong, pounding, kneading hands sought to purify and soften and make pliable the clay. Nevertheless, always it was the same skillful hands of the potter at work. If the potter set the clay aside into the dreary emptiness of waiting for a while as it dried or cured, or if it pleased the potter to place it into the burning heat of the hot kiln to bake and make durable, it was ever the will and wisdom of the potter at work. All of the necessary procedures were pre-planned and carried out according to the intention of the mind with the potter. He knew the perfect means and method to bring forth the finished vessel that he had determined to make. If the potter found in the process that the clay was too hard to mold or had some foreign substance still hidden within and had broken the potter's hand, it was not scrapped. It was not thrown into the rubbish pile. The potter simply returned the same clay to an earlier stage of the process and worked until it was made ready for another turn on the potter's wheel. There the potter made it into another vessel. Through the skilled working of the potter, God showed Jeremiah what it meant for the hand of the Lord to be upon a man or a people. No self-made prophets. No one can make himself into a man of God by his own will or endeavors. Regardless of how good are the intentions or how strenuously one might work upon himself, it is totally impossible. Though one study ever so diligently, though he fill his life with all manner of good works, he still could not succeed in transforming himself into a man of God. It is as impossible as it would be for an ant to transform itself into a butterfly. Only if and when the creating, all-powerful hands of the all-wise potter takes a person into his own prophet factory, can a man of clay, a son of Adam, ever become a vessel of honor in the house of the king? There are many who stand in the place of a man of God and proclaim their religious wares unto the people. but they are only counterfeit, product from the workshops of men. Universities, seminaries, easy special courses, some quite brief and cheap, claim to have the ability to bring forth men of God adequately prepared for the ministry. However, unless the creative hand of God upon one of his choice vessels takes over the making of a man of God, a true man of God he shall never become. The heavenly preparation accomplished by the hand of God is as necessary as to have the heavenly vision. For it is Christ and Christ alone that gives the various ministries unto the church. Man hath not given that privilege, nor the power to fulfill that divine work. Ministry is the gift of Christ to his church. He alone is able to fashion such a gift by his own hands on the clay on his potter's wheel. For only the hand of God that works in infinite wisdom and holy love is sufficient to prepare the prophetic vessel. The tremendous needs and challenges of the battle of life can only be met and turned into victory by those who have the hand of the Lord abiding upon them. The church can only wait and pray until someone, somewhere, arises upon whom the hand of the Lord has come and remained upon him until the process is completed. Then, that one be given by Christ to his church. That one will be one that has been taken captive in the chains of slavery unto Christ, and upon whom his hand abides, and has become a vessel fit for the master's use. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." God is not in a hurry. The church in captivity in Egypt had to wait 80 years until God was able to prepare Moses. 40 years he was in the school of Egypt, 40 years in the potter's house in the wilderness. Then he was sent forth with the hand of God still upon him. When all was ready, God gave Moses to Israel as a gift of mercy, as a gift of love to bring them out of slavery and misery. It took a Moses to lead them out of Egypt and make a nation out of former slaves, a nation who would be governed by the law of their God. The kingdom of Israel had to wait 12 years for their glorious and victorious King David to come and sit upon the throne in Jerusalem. God had to take a young shepherd from the lonely hill pastures of Judah, put his hand upon him in infinite wisdom, with many kneading blows of difficulty, hot kilns of adversity, in order to bring forth a man of God after his own heart to be a true shepherd to his chosen people, Israel. Heathen nations of the world had to wait for nearly 20 years after Pentecost for a man named Paul of Tarsus to be prepared by the hand of God. Even after the church began at Pentecost, it could not rush forth and multiply itself in the heathen world until God had finished his work in the life of Paul. When Paul was given by Christ to the Gentile church, which was still locked in heathendom, he was given to them as a man of God, with the divine hand of God himself ever upon him. Many a nation, many a field, and many a church has had to wait until God could produce his man to give to them. The glorious history of the church is not a history of people or nations, but a history of men of God. Men whom he took captive and planted them by his river, and there with his potter hand upon them, made them a ministering gift to those people. Africa waited in gross darkness for Livingstone. Burma's night lasted until at morning Adoniram Judson was sent to them. India groaned in chains of idle misery, waiting for the William Carey, the cobbler, to be the gift of Christ to them. Europe waited dark centuries for Martin Luther. England, that bloody, much-battled island, suffered in ever-deepening debauchery as they waited for John Wesley. Argentina shivered in sorrow until Alan Gardner was sent to sail into their harbor. New Awakening America waited for George Whitefield to set its course and give it orientation into its future. Such gifts of Christ to His church are gifts of His workmanship and precious indeed to a church, people, or nation. But they are not common nor profusely given amongst the people. Such one take years to produce, and they must be of the right material and be able to stand the pounding, the molding, and the fires of the process that the hand of God and infinite wisdom must fulfill to form such a vessel. There are many useful mugs of clay that went through some kneading, some molding on the wheel, and once in the fires of the kiln, and came forth to be a much-used vessel in the household. The humble mug is a household stay in many a home, and makes up by its usefulness its lack of brilliant luster and fragile beauty. However, there are china vases, or tea sets, prized for their beauty, and costly even to extreme price. But such objects of special clay can only be made by the hands of the master potters, artists they are, who work most slowly and must not rush their work. Such prized works are hand-painted by artists taught in special schools, painted by brushes at times so delicate that they are composed of one single hair. Then they are baked in the fiery kiln with temperatures of 2,000 degrees and more, not once, but five times through that fiery ordeal of 24 hours each, once for the clay, once for the glossy glaze, once for the painted picture, once for the handles, and once for the gold trim. Ah, but such ones are sold at great price and become priceless gifts. These prized gifts of beauty are the work of the master potter. With his special chosen clay, he works without rush or great commotion. From his wheel and his table come a work of art, a gift fit for a nation, or a people, or a king. The people wait while behind closed doors marked, "Keep out, artists at work." The master potter prepares his gifts for his church. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. By my Spirit. Judges 6:34. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with him, and shall be turned into another man. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Acts 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Each of these scriptures speaks not of the filling from within, but the Holy Spirit that comes from above, that changes an ordinary individual into another prophet, a man of faith, a man anointed. The Spirit of God, like tongues of fire, came upon them. I have a little tract that comes out of England about a Scotch lassie. The tract is entitled, "She Was Only 21. She was a lassie filled with the Spirit at 15, and she died at 21 years of age. However, in that short lifetime, there was a wonderful manifestation of the Spirit of God in that young life that transformed men and women and churches that reached all the way to the foreign field. She never spoke or prayed for anyone. She just sat in a church. If she just came and attended a meeting in church, the Spirit of God would come to that meeting in a most remarkable way. Her influence, her ministry, was much greater than many ministers that had ministered for a lifetime. When the Spirit comes upon a human being, he brings an endowment of power for the fulfillment of the divine purposes of that life. After the Spirit of God came upon David, fearlessly he challenged and killed a grown lion. It was the hand of God that was upon him. David did not accomplish that miraculous deliverance alone, by the power of the hand of God that was upon him.